In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we shall continue our study for the kings. Yesterday we talked about the most evil, the most terrible, the most brutal, the most selfish king, Ahab. So because he made the decision upon himself. He made the decision to be an evil king. He made this choice out of his own will. So that the Bible describes him as the worst of all. So today we are going to look at a different example. Now since the topic of our NYTS is how to live a victorious life. So we need to look at a positive example. And from him, we can learn how to live in a victorious life. And the person is known, this person is known as the man after God's heart. So who is he? It's David. So it's very obvious because you know that David's entire life his entire life is perfect in the eyes of the Lord. So every time when God wants to make a comparison, he always said, a great king, a good king, like his father David. David becomes the standard. If you are like David, you are good. If you are like Ahab, you are evil. It becomes a standard of good or evil. If one day God say to your child, you are a good child, just like your father when he was young, then you are very successful. And you are a successful man. Because you become the standard. Every time when God think of someone good, he think of you. Every time when God wants to come up with a good example, he think of you. You are the good example. Because why would he use you as an example? Because he's very proud of you. Your behavior, your action, everything, just like Job. God say to Satan, did you see my servant Job? What a nice guy. Very proud of him. Every time when you see the computer goes on the projector, you see the background screen is always the family, the kids, huh? Sometimes we put it on the background, and sometimes we let people see it because we are very proud of our children, of my child. You see that Pastor Huang's family picture. You know that what we put those on because we are proud. We are proud of our child, so cute, so adorable, so loving. You know that sometimes when I look at my child's picture, and then I start to wonder myself, the way I feel about my daughter, would it be the way that God feel about me every time when he think about me? Will he be so proud of me, want to present to everybody? Look at my son, look at my daughter, so good, so good. I'm so comforted. So honored to have a wonderful child like that. So think about it. Every time when God think of you, how does he feel? Presentable, honored, very happy. Or the other way around. Okay, now we talk about the man after God's heart. We talk about King David. What is so special about King David? You know, there are several things that happened to a person in order for his life to be valuable in front of in God's eyes. Since we know that David is the man after God's heart, and we all want to be the children, we want to be the son and the daughter after God's heart. That's our hope. So what do we need to do? How can we achieve that? You know, talk is cheap. You can talk all you want. I want to be a good kid. I want to I want to do good in school. I want to behave good. You can talk all you want. But talk is cheap. If you never put into any action, you can talk all you want. Nothing is going to change. So we need to look into David's life. What did he do that qualify him to be the man after God's heart? Let's see. A good kid, the good king begins with the good childhood. It begins with a good childhood. So what happened in his childhood? Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 18. First Samuel chapter 16, verse 18. George? Thank you. You know, in chapter 16, verse 18, it talks about the time that, you know what, let's stop here a little. Let's go to another passage. Let's go to chapter 16, verse 10. Chapter 16, verse 10. Alicia? Thank you. In here, as we should all be very familiar with the story. You are in NYTS. This is not SSC, so you should be. I don't need to repeat the story. But in here, we see the first character of David. When all your siblings get to go home in the feast, welcoming an honorable guest, Samuel, and you being left alone outside in the desert, in the wilderness, tending the sheep, how would you feel? Nowadays, the kids that we know, what will you do? You'll start whining, crying, flipping over the table, kicking bumping your head into the wall until your mom say, okay, fine, you come home, right? Because what? We know that if we whine, we cry, we yell, we want this, we want that, we all act up, we always get our way. Because we want it to be fair, because we want to be part of the banquet, because we want to have fun instead of being left alone doing some other work. But there's one thing about David. Remember what it is said in here. He's the youngest. He's the youngest. But he was left in the desert. Why? To tend the sheep, to do his work. Did he say, forget about it. Everybody went home. I'm going home too. Sometimes kids act like that. This is not fair. Oh, my brother can do this. I am going to do it too. Forget about my duty. Forget about my work. I am going to go home anyway. Doesn't matter what you say. I'm going to do it. You know, sometimes our kids act like that. But David doesn't. David doesn't. David did not. Even though everybody get to have fun at home, and he was alone in the desert, what did he do? He submit to the decision of his father. Submission. Submission is extremely difficult in nowadays, especially in the young generation, because we are educated otherwise. We are educated to voice your opinion, to fight for your right, to seek for equality. Never let anyone take advantage of you. In work, we do that. In school, we do that. Even when we come to church, we still do that. So nobody's cleaning. I'm not cleaning too. Sometimes you go to the certain local church, and you'll find out that the youth are not cleaning. But the members, sometimes the 70 years old, the 80 years old, they were sweeping the floor while the kids are playing basketball. The young, agile kids, running around, playing basketball, having fun. When the 70, 80 years old are cleaning the floor and mopping. And they don't feel anything about it. And when you go and say, why don't you help? He said, why me? They are not doing it. They are not doing it. Why you always come to me? Why do I have to do it? Always fight for the equality. Always trying to voice, this is my right. Why do I have to do it? You know what? In the church, if you always work like this, if you always think like this, always trying to have an equal, you will never be like David. Never. Never. Never be like David. David never fight for it. David humbly submit to the decision and take on the duty upon himself. That's why throughout his entire life, did you find out that the training, the time that he spent with the sheep becomes a very important quality for him in the future. The way he tend the sheep, the way he faced the challenge when he was tending the sheep, the patience, the tolerance, the brave, the courage, the determination, everything that was working for him in the later part of his life. So if today you are able to submit yourself, even it might seem unfair to you, if you are able to humble yourself, submit yourself, you know, everything that you learn, every little thing that you accumulate will work for you in the long run, beyond your comprehension. You'll never, it might pay you back in a way that you never imagined. A lot of times we find people, the youth, who spend a lot of time, efforts in the church work, to the point that they might need to let go some of their own personal time, their personal things to do, personal freedom, personal enjoyment, in order to do church work. But a lot of times you will find out that everything pays back at the end of the day. For example, there are youth that I know, later on went for the interview for school. Hundreds of people went for the interview. Only a few picked, like 20 out of like 300-400. And the interviewer told her the reason that she was chosen is because her RE experience. RE experience. You teaching school, huh? You teaching church, huh? Oh, that's pretty good. The reason that, you know, she was never expect that's part of, that's going to work for her in any way. But it did. You know that my personal experience is that when I was working, when you start working as a business major without any specialties, you are not a programmer, not a lawyer, not an engineer. You start just as a clerk, as an average worker, average clerk. And sometimes it's very difficult for you to jump from clerk to the management. Sometimes it can take years, 5-7 years, before you have the opportunity to change from an office clerk to an office manager. But for me, it only took me 2 years. It took me two years to become a manager in the office. And the reason is once, the big boss flew in from Asia, and we attend a seminar. We went and attend a very important meeting, a conference in Atlanta. And at that very moment, he needs someone who can do Chinese-English interpretation on site. I mean, immediate. You hear, you translate at the same time. And since we have been doing translation in the church for a few years, I told him that I can do it. And after that, it left him a very deep impression. So later on, all the promotions, the first person he thought about is me. This is the opportunity that God provides to you for one reason. God wants to show you nothing is in vain. The little things that you do in the church, the little effort that you put in the church, is you will never go in vain. God will repay you, if not with the world, with the, your career, your education, if not with the world, he will repay you in heaven. So you will never go unpaid. Everything God will recall and he will repay you. Oh? So that's David. And second, the passage that we just read about his talents. He says that there was a man called the son of Jesse, called David. He played harp. And what did he say? That if you find him, you find this man, when he play harp for you, what will happen? You will drive out demon. He will comfort you. So after David came, he played harp. When King Saul heard it, what happened? He was in peace. He was peaceful. So today, you all have different talent, like David. You might play piano. You might be very good at computer. You have some kind of talents, like David playing harps. But what do you use your talent for? Competition? Better stage, better spotlight, so more people focus on you. So what do you use your talent for? And what is it good for? For David, he played harp. So is what is good for? It's good that it can benefit the people who hear it. It can calm the heart. It can bring peace. It can show that God is there. Bring peace to the congregation. Bring peace to the people. So what are you doing with your talents? What can you bring to people? So that's a question that you have to ask. Yes, nowadays the new generation, you are so smart, so good. But with all the talents that you possess today, with all the ability that you have been trained today, what are you using it for? And what can you do with those talents? How can your talents benefit anyone? Ask yourself. So David, he used his talent for benefiting people. So the thing that we just read, he says that what? The law is with him since he was a boy. The law was with him. David, start from very young, has presented as a very different person. In his life, God abides with him since he was very young. You know that there's a verse that I always found interesting. You know that the Bible describes Samuel. He said that the little Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. You know that that's what makes a great worker. Since young, he grew up in the presence of the Lord. And then the question is, for you, brothers and sisters, as you growing up, what are you growing up in front of? Some of you can grow up in the presence of the TV. Some of you grow up in the presence of video games, day and night. You spend more time with video games than spend time with your parents or your school or church. Don't even mention about church. Church is always the last. You know that you grew up in the presence of many things, but you don't grow up in the presence of the Lord. That's why you are not like Samuel. But today, if you grew up in the presence of the Lord, you decided this time after NYTS, I go home, I'm going to make a difference. I go back to my dormitory. I'm going to do a big house cleaning. Start from my living room. Next, into my computer hard drive. Third, examine inside out. Clean everything out. In your mind, imagine the garbage, the truck, the garbage truck come. One bag, two bag of trash throw into the truck and then carry it away. Don't come back. If you can do that, then you're going to grow up like Samuel. One day, very useful, powerful worker for the Lord. The Bible says that whatever Samuel prophesies, God granted. God make it happen. And you can be the same. Second, Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 28. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 28. Philip. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 28. Hello? Amen. In here, David, his brother was in the war. He was in the camp. So the father said to David, "Go and visit your brother." So as a good little boy, he listened to his father. So he went and visited the brothers in the camp. At that time, that's when Goliath. Oh, you all know the story. I don't have to repeat it. Goliath was there, and David, burned with anger. David was asking, what happened? How dare is this uncircumcised guy stand in front of the camp of the Lord? Oh, somebody go, somebody take care of the issue. So what happened to the brother? The brother got very embarrassed. And out of embarrassment, he was very angry. Usually, when people get embarrassed, they get angry. They get angry to cover up for their embarrassment. So the brother got very angry. And what did he say to David? He said, "What are you doing here? Who told you to come here?" And then what did the brother ask David? The brother asked David, "Where are the sheep that was entrusted to you?" What does it mean? David has his duty. David has his duty, which is taking care of the sheep in the desert. So when he came down, the brother, out of anger, "What happened to the sheep? What did you do to the sheep?" You know that if you were David and you were very happy, "Oh, finally, forget about the sheep. I get to go visit my brother. I don't have to face those sheep. That's a me whole day. Eat, doing nothing but eat, whining and boo. So finally, I get to get rid of them. I get to see my brother. At least as a trip, right? As a tour." But at this time, if you did not, you just let the sheep somewhere in the desert, and then you run and happy, see your brother. And when your brother asks you, "Where is the sheep?" How would you reply? If David didn't do anything about the sheep, if he didn't do anything, and his brother said, "What happened to the sheep?" He would be what? Embarrassed. And he has to lower his voice. "Oh, yeah. I don't know. I think they are wandering in the place they're supposed to be." You know, that's what happened to our youth today. That's what happened to us today. We like to do the big thing. We like to see the battle. We even want to go and kill Goliath, every one of us. Right? Brothers, you always dream like, you know, you are you are David. Oh. With the guidance of the Lord, taking the slingshot and then kill Goliath, finish. You do the wonderful work for the Lord. But what happened to the sheep? I don't know. Got eaten by the bear? We always like to do the big thing, but we don't like to spend time or attention on the little things. So when people ask us, "How come you can't do this?" and you get embarrassed. "How come you can't even do the small thing right?" Oh, let's read what the Bible says, huh? Let's turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. Isaac? Thank you. In here, The Bible told us that in God's eyes, if you are faithful in small things, then he can trust you with something greater. But if you cannot even be faithful on the small things, who is going to trust you with anything? Also today, when we look at ourselves, when we go back to our local church, and then we feel uncomfortable. What's wrong with you people? Can't you see the talents on me? Can't you see the wisdom that's bestowed in my mind? Can't you see the power of God in this hand? How come you don't assign me any work? Why? Hey, I am NYTS students, third year. I am I am PMVP, yeah. How come? How come? What's wrong with you, church councils? What's wrong with you, RE coordinators? Are you blind? Can't you see this is the guy of the future star of the holy work? You know, sometimes doesn't it bother you? Doesn't it puzzle you? How come nobody want to use you in the church, even after all the training? When the church are so lack of workers, you know, on one hand that we are so short of hands, on the other hand, no, we're just not using you. Doesn't that make you feel weird and puzzled? But usually what we do, we examine the church. The church, blindfolded, cannot see this. Didn't you see that after NYTS my face was glowing? That's because you don't wash your face. See that the oil floating, like what happened to Aaron, right? Anointed Aaron. The flowing from hair to the beard to the clothes. You know, sometimes we think so high of ourselves, so we want to do something great, something wonderful, something powerful, because we are educated in NYTS. But we can't even do the small thing right. So when the church asks you, where is the sheep? I don't know. Who cares about the sheep? Oh. If you cannot even take care of the sheep, if you cannot even be faithful on the little thing, if you cannot even control the way you dress, the way you talk, the way you act, who is going to trust you with anything just because you are NYTS graduate? You know that it look bad on us, on all the coordinators, on all the workers. It looked very bad on us. After NYTS, you hear, you pray, you do work, and when you go back to church, you are like, hey, I am NYTS, huh? Oh, so you need to listen to me, huh? Oh, so when Bible study, I'm always right, huh? Oh, why? Oh, when you have a different opinion, when you have a different differences in opinion, hey, who are you? Huh? Where did you graduate from? PMVP, huh? Please, you guys are embarrassing us. The reason that for you to come here is to understand how little you know, especially after you fail the revelation test. It's not that hard. Oh, of course, we have like 3 months learning revelation. So. But I'm telling you that in here, the reason, you know, we are not here to judge you by the test, because test is not the reason that you are here. But at the same time, through the study, through the prayer, and through the test, we want you to realize how little you know so that you humble yourself. You humble yourself. So that when you go back to the local church, you are humble, you are different. Through the prayer, they see a different you. So now they entrust you with work. Maybe something small. Start something small. Maybe start with cleaning the bathroom. You are like, come on. Come on, didn't you see on the back? Oh, we don't have NYTS shirt, huh? Can't you see that I am a different person? How can you ask me to do the cleaning? At least the small thing, at least begin what? Teaching RE. If you don't let me stand on the pulpit, fine. I will start with teaching RE. You know, we always think very high of ourselves. So when we are assigned to cleaning, we don't go. We don't do it. We think it's not our job. It's too low end for us. I am trained for instruction work, to teach. So my job is to teach. You are not. We are training you so that you can start with cleaning the toilet. Because when you are able to bend yourself to cleaning the toilet, then you are qualified to do something greater for the Lord. You are. Only when you are able to bend your back. So, David, when the brother asked him, where is sheep? What did he say? Very confident. I have entrusted to someone already. I have. You know, when he left the place, what did he say? I have entrusted sheep to the two other worker, to the slave, to other servants. So when he was asked, he was very confident. Today, if you are asked, what happened to the work that's entrusted to you? What happened to the toilet? Would you be very confident? Would you be very confident with your work? Yes, I have done my best. Go check, shining, sparkling, like shining. Oh, I wipe it. Oh, I scratch. I use whatever means I can find to make into a shining toilet. Did you see the shining floor? So the people that come in might need to be careful so they don't trip and fall. Or maybe that's because you didn't mop very. It's too wet. If it's too wet, it's no good. Oh, it's too wet. You know that if you are the best, if you are doing your best in every assignment that's entrusted to you, then the greater assignment will be given to you. Do not think it's always other people's fault that you are not used. You think that we don't want to use as many of you as possible? You think the church lacking so many manpower in doing work, you think we don't want to use you to participate into more work? We want to, but we can't. Why? Don't ask us, ask yourself. Dressing weird, coming in with like serving board on Sabbath morning, on shorts, on slippers. And then when you ask him, what's going on here? He said, hey, my heart is here. My heart is here. I worship God with my heart. God see my heart. Is it true? Is it true? If you cannot be a good example from your action, from the way you dress, from the way that you behave, from the way that you handle things, if you cannot be a good example in the church, who is going to use you as RE teacher? Who? For the sake of love. Okay, he says, you need to show love to us. Some people say, you need to show love to the work, to the people. Give them, show more love so that they get to participate in the work as well. If we show love to those who are disqualified, who is unqualified, huh? If we show love for those people who don't equip themselves, who is going to show love to the younger generation, to the one that they have been taught, to the one that they, you know, to the younger one, they look up their teacher, my teacher always dye their hair blue and red. Oh, good example. If we show love to you, who is going to show love to the children? So we can't, because you are not responsible. Where is your sheep? David, he knew exactly where his sheep is. Do you know the duty that you have been entrusted? Ask yourself again. Oh? Third, facing Goliath. We know about Goliath. We know what he did. He was wearing someone else's armor. The armor was made with much better material, but it's just not for him. So for you, you need to find out what is your best armory. Other people's stuff might not work for you. Other people's way might not work for you. You need to find out. David tried it. Doesn't work. So what did he do? Did he force himself to go on like this? No. He take it off. Even though it's so beautiful. Armor, so beautiful. So strong, sturdy. But what did he do? He pulled it off. You have to find out what is your mission. What is the mission that God entrusts to your life? So when you find out, you do it. You find what is the best way that you can serve. You find out and then you do it. Huh? David the warrior, we'll have to speed up a little bit. David the warrior, as David grew older, huh? Let's turn to Samuel chapter 2 Samuel chapter 5. Now David engaged into a war as he grew up. 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 22. Marianne? Verse 22 and 23. Angela? Thank you. You know that in here, David engaged into a warfare. Now he's no longer a young boy. He is, according to the Bible describes him as a very experienced warrior. If you go to 1 Samuel chapter 18. First Samuel chapter 18, verse 5. It says that David did it so wisely. Let's read verse 14. In everything he did, he has done wisely. Let's turn to Verse 15. But so how wise he was. And then let's turn to verse 30. The Philistine commander continued to go out to battle, and so often did they, as they did, David met with more wisdom, or more wisely. So how did the Bible describe David? Very smart, very capable, very experienced. But when he go into the battle, what did he do? He asked God. You know that when people who doesn't know anything, they ask God. Today, if you are assigned, for those who are doing the sermon this afternoon, because you are new, so what happened? You are nervous, and what happened? So you pray extra hard, right? You pray extra hard. You want to pray, God help me, so that I don't go blank, so that I don't say the wrong things, so that I don't make a fool of, so I don't make mistake. So because you are inexperienced, so you pray extra hard. That's very common for people who are lack of experience. But what happens if you have been doing sermon for 10 years? You are expert. Sermon, come on, like this and that. I can do it last minute, anytime. You name it, I'll be there. You just told me when, I'll be there, no problem. You know that after you become so experienced, what do? You just take it lightly. No problem, I can do it. But what did David do? In every time when he go out to the battle, when he was young, he prayed. When he was older, he prayed. When he become very experienced, he still pray. That's why in his entire life, he never lost a single battle. You think it's easy? You know that God promised Joshua, we learn in Joshua, God promised that no one can stand in front of him, right? But what happened? He lost at the second war. Why? Didn't ask. God made you a promise. God said, today, Grady, I will make you great. You will triumphant. You will be successful in all the holy work you do. He said, fine, thank God, I have this great promise. So from now on, all my holy work, I will just do it on my bed. I was sleeping. But you know, God promised me, I will be successful, I will be triumphant. Doesn't mean that I don't have to do anything. No. God make you a promise, you have to go and earn it. Go and do it, go and grab it, then it's yours. So for David, every time he asked, God, can I go? Would you give the enemy onto my hand? You know the first time he asked, the second time he asked. Every time, even he won. Usually you think that, we won already. So next time, the same case come up. You are fighting a battle. You are talking to a truth seeker. This time, the truth seeker, pray, God, give me wisdom. What to say to him? So this time, very successful. Next time, the truth seeker come. Another truth seeker come. You think, what do you think? Oh, I take care of one juicy girl already. Let me just copy my method. Copy the old method and apply it. It worked last time. It should work this time. Does it? No. In 2 Samuel, the story that we just read, he asked God the first battle, and he won. The second time, he asked again, and God provide a different method. It's not going to be the same every time. If you figure that it's the same enemy, the same situation, that's fine. He's going to lose the battle. Oh. Okay? And also, oh, in the verse that we just read, huh? In 2 Samuel chapter 16, chapter 5, 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 23, verse 24. The Lord said to him that this time, when you fight, you wait until you hear the sound of marching on the tip of the tree. What does it mean? It means that when it comes to the battle, there is a timing. But it could be your timing, and it could be God's timing. You choose. God say to them, you ambush, you wait, you ambush, and then the enemy will come, will pass by the place that you hide. So from the experience as a warrior, you are a very experienced warrior. From your experience, you are making a judgment. Now, this is the time, the best point to penetrate the enemy, cut them to half, and then destroy them. You have your timing from your ability, from your experience, from your wisdom. But you didn't hear the sound of God. There are no signal, no signal. What do? Sometimes we'll feel like, it's okay. No signal from God, but this is the best. This is the best timing. I know my judgment. So let's go. You make your own signal, and you pay for the consequence of it. You know that for David, it's not that easy. As a very experienced warrior, he was observing the enemy, unaware of the ambush, passing by. But as he was looking and looking and looking, he found the best timing to attack. But no sound. No sound. So what did he do? What do you need to do? He need to wait and see the opportunity slipping away from his hand. Every second, the enemy are escaping from them. But still no sound. You can make two choices. You can say, forget about it. Oh, it's okay. Forget about it. Let's go. Otherwise, the opportunity, the enemy will slip away from our hand. Then you pay for the consequence. But at the same time, if you can wait patiently for God's timing, and then God will fight for you. God's timing might not be our timing. It might not be the best opportunity, the best time to strike. It might not be the best timing to strike according to our strategy, according to our past experience. It might not. Yet it doesn't have to be. Would you be able to wait? David waited, so he won. Oh? Third, we talk about David, huh? David has the desire to build a temple for the Lord. But God said no. God said no. So if you were David, what would you do? I think about it today. You have this desire. After NYTS, I am going to work for God. I am the mighty warrior. Not Goliath, huh? I am the powerful soldier, well-trained. I'm going to work for God. I come back to church. I volunteer myself. And the church say, no. What do you do? Usually, what do? You feel very angry. You feel very disappointed. You feel that you are wronged. The church has wronged you. So what do? Forget it. I'm not going to do it anymore. Someone else do it. Oh, I don't care. Oh, why? Oh, because you don't use me. You don't respect me enough. Oh. But David, a wonderful guy, when he said to the Lord, Lord, let me build, out of the sincerity, he said, Lord, let me build a temple for you. The Lord said, no. What did he do? Did he get all angry, all act up? I said, forget about it, let someone else do it. You know, I have this, you know, I'm just trying to do something good for you. You don't want it? Too bad. Oh. Sometimes we act like that. You don't want to use me? Oh, whatever, I don't care. I don't need to do this. I don't need to take this from you. I don't need to take this from church. But what did David do? Let's turn to First Chronicles chapter 22. First Chronicles chapter 22. Verse 13. This is the final words that David said to Solomon. First Chronicles chapter 22, verse 13. Olivia? Verse 14. It's okay. Thank you. Thank you. You know that in here he said that in great distress, in great pain, in great trouble, that he prepared a lot of material for the Lord. That's why David was a man after God's heart. When he was turned down, he didn't get discouraged. He didn't say, forget it. You know, my good intention, you don't want it? Too bad, forget it. He didn't do that. He said, out of all the trouble, because he's always in war, out of all my trouble, I still try my best to do what I can to prepare. So today, if you are you have the eagerness to do something for the Lord, but you are not, your sincerity or your zeal are not yet being used, or the church has not yet accept your willingness to work for him, do not be discouraged. Do not lose heart. What do? In the great distress, in your limit time, in your limit energy, you go through the great deal to prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. Do something. Something that within your power. Change yourself. Build out yourself. So, yes, fine. Now, the church is not using me for this, but I can prepare myself. So one day, when God uses me, I will be ready. Oh, so are you ready? Oh, so today, if you utilize your time, prepare in the great distress, prepare yourself, make yourself useful. One day when the Lord says to you, I want to use you, you don't have to be like, oh, now I need to start to prepare. Too late. Yes, Lord, whenever you call me, I am ready for you. So let's all learn from David as a good example that we can all live in a triumphant life. Let's all pray let's all kneel down and pray.